Coming up, I'm going to share my favorite three leadership books and what I took away from them. And then we've got another phrase. Please say it's not true. Dry promotions. What are they? Why do they exist? Let's go. All right. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you grow personally, advance professionally, and lead effectively. Excited to have you with us. So, I read. I love reading. And one of my favorite topics to read about is leadership, because it has historical context. It has political context. It has business context. It has a personal context. And today I decided, you know what, we're going to share with you, the people, my favorite three leadership books that have really shaped me the most. And I'm going to kind of give you a bit of a Cliff Notes lesson from each book that I believe will help you. Now, for those of you who aren't leading now, but you are seeking to advance professionally, as you keep advancing professionally, you are going to progress and be promoted into a leadership role. I don't know how soon that's going to be. I don't know how many rungs are on the non-leadership ladder before you ascend to leadership, but I can tell you, if you continue to grow, most of the time you're going to grow into a leadership and a management role. So being prepared before that moment is always huge. The legendary UCLA basketball coach John Wooden famously said, "When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare." So this lesson today is for you. For those of you that are in a leadership role, if you haven't read these books, I can tell you right now, this is must reading. So let's dive in. All right. Book number one, the first one, these are no particular order. I'm not ranking these one through three. But the first book that I would highly recommend, it's one of my favorite leadership books, is by John Maxwell. And it is entitled Developing the Leader Within You. Developing the Leader Within You. Now, the book itself, the guts of the book, are the big takeaway as he unpacks the five levels of leadership. And I think that this is the first time I ever saw a very clear and concise description of the role of a leader and the growth of a leader. And these five levels that Maxwell lays out, this is brilliant stuff. And so think of this as a pyramid, and it's the model he essentially uses in the book. And so the bottom level of the pyramid, and so each of the five levels you go up. So level five is obviously we're ascending here, okay? And so the first level is position. In other words, you have leadership to the extent that positionally on an org chart, you're higher up the ladder. It's just positional leadership. It's the lowest level of leadership because that's where you start. Okay, my job title is manager. And so I'm ranked higher than other people. So it's a positional leadership level. It's where we start. Everybody starts there. Once you become a leader, the moment that it's announced and the moment that you start, you are in level one. You are a positional leader. Nobody's decided to stay with you yet. They just found out that you're their leader. So it's positional. Second level is permission. Now, this is when the people that you lead in level one, positionally, this is when they say, all right, I trust you. I trust you as a leader. And so therefore, I'm buying into you. They aren't actually giving you permission to lead. It's not theirs to give, but it is from a trust and a buy-in, a connection, a credibility standpoint. Now people are saying, okay, I buy into you. You aren't just my leader by position. I don't have to follow you just because of the position. I'm glad to follow you. That's the difference. Next is production. This is when people are now buying into you and they're making stuff happen. They are seeing the direction that you're leading them in. They're seeing the resources you're giving them, and they're getting stuff done, and they are following you forward. Next is people development. It's the fourth level. This is when production is high, but now you are diving into the development of the people you lead, and you're bringing out the best in others. And then finally, this is the pinnacle level. This is when you are known outside of your organization or your team or your school or whatever the situation is where you lead. And this is people speak about you outside of the organization because of your quality leadership. So those are the five levels of leadership. Highly recommend you read it and dive deep. Next book, book number two, It's Good to Great by Jim Collins. Good to Great, subtitle is Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't. Now, you got to understand that Good to Great was one of several books that all came out of the same very exhaustive study. And this book is an absolute must read for leaders. In other words, what made good companies develop into or grow into great companies? And that's what it covers. And it's anecdotal, and it is also methodology. It is based on research. This is not Jim Collins' opinion on what he thinks. It's an exhaustive study. It's a must read. So my big takeaway from Good to Great is the difference between good and great is leadership. And that's the big takeaway of all of the study. In order for a company to go from good to great, it must have great leadership. And so he breaks down the five classifications of leadership in the book. And level five is the pinnacle, right? You see a parallel here? Level five leaders, and this is my big takeaway from the book, the way that Jim Collins defines a level five leader, is they display a powerful mixture of extreme personal humility and intense professional will. So I love that. The intense professional will, let's break that down. That means they are highly, highly focused and passionate, driven towards an outcome. But they also have extreme personal humility. In fact, their ambition is first and foremost for the cause, not for them. It's for the organization. It's not for themselves. He says it in the book. He says that a level five leader says, when we win, I win. Not the other way around. We've all seen and worked for leaders that it's the opposite. When I win, they think that you win. Book number three. The Leadership Challenge, How to Make Extraordinary Things Happen in Organizations. The Leadership Challenge, How to Make Extraordinary Things Happen in Organizations. This is co-written by James Kouzes and Barry Posner. And years ago, I had the opportunity to hear Jim Kouzes talk on the Leadership Challenge. As a result, I bought the book, and it remains in my top three. And this is now over 20 years ago that I bought the book. And again, the actual guts of the book are the five practices of excellent leadership. The five practices. And so the five practices, again, I'm just going to lay these out because, again, I want you to go read these books and dive in. But the first practice of exemplary leadership is to model the way. In other words, you as the leader have to show people the values of the organization by how you live them. Don't put them on a whiteboard. Don't put them on posters around. Don't paint them on the walls. Model them. Model the values. Values are everything from the work ethic to the way we take care of customers. You get to pick the values, leaders. And values drive behavior. I can look at your bank account. I can look at your schedule, not knowing you at all, and I can tell you what you value. Values are the drivers of behavior. So you've got to model the way. Number two, you've got to inspire a shared vision. Listen, an organization that wins is an organization that is pulling in the same direction. And the way that happens is you are able to describe the where we're going. And it's inspiring. Three, you got to challenge the process. As a leader, you must always be challenging the process. Processes need to change. Processes need to adapt. People need to change. People need to adapt. Challenge the process. Don't just do it the same way because that's the way we've always done it. Great leaders always are challenging the process. Four, enable others to act. The greatest act of leadership is to get people to a place where they can act on their own. Give them the tools, the resources, the training, and the confidence that comes from you trusting them. Enable others to act, leaders. And in five, encourage the heart. You got to be a coach. You got to coach people. You got to love on them. You got to encourage their heart. They're going to go through ups and downs, And your job as a leader is to encourage them. So these takeaways are my takeaways from my three favorite books. But why do I share this? Because as leaders or readers, it's time for you to start flipping the pages, not just of these three books, but other books, and take notes. And don't just take notes, take heed and actually do something with what you've learned. I promise, the more you read, the more you grow, the more you grow, the farther you go. This is The Ken Coleman Show. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So, are you an introvert or are you an extrovert? And I think the world has been unfairly built towards the extroverts. And I'm an extrovert, so I can say that, right? And an extroverted world can be energy sapping for an introvert. And we all have different batteries, if you will, social batteries. And it's okay. There's no right. There's no wrong. But this is important. Your social battery needs to stay at a healthy level or else you get burned out. And you get burned out, that affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and it can really affect you in your professional growth. So it's important that you know what your social battery is and then how to recharge if a lot of the work activities you do drain you. I want you to think about starting therapy with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is flexible to fit into your schedule because it's completely online. It's super easy to get started with just a short questionnaire that then matches you with a licensed therapist. This is my favorite part. They allow you to switch therapists at any time for no extra cost because you got to find your person. So I want you to find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Ken today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Ken. All right, folks, breaking news here. There is no assessment. I love assessments. I love personality assessments. I love all kinds of different assessments. So there's no assessment out there that's going to tell you exactly what you should be doing with your life professionally. I don't care how much they promise it. But I will tell you that the key to figuring out your professional direction and to thrive, continue thriving financially and professionally, starts with self-discovery. That's why I'm so fired up about my Get Clear Career Assessment. It has helped so many people, and it helps them with an awareness of who they really are and why they are the way they are. How you're wired is the idea, right? How are you wired? And we've got a new book coming out to pick you up from your assessment results, grab you by the hand, if you'll, and walk you forward. The new book is called Find the Work You're Wired to Do. Each book comes with the Get Clear Assessment so that you get the awareness and you can figure out direction. But then you go, okay, Ken, what do I physically do next? My purpose statement is right on. And I know what I want to do, but oh boy, how do I choose it? I got two or three options. How do I choose? How do I walk forward? And this book walks you through. You go from bare minimum Mondays to making more money doing the work that you enjoy. You can pre-order Find the Work You're Wired to Do right now, and you'll get the audiobook and the ebook free. And that, of course, comes with the free assessment, which is a $30 product in and of itself. So this is great value. You can pre-order right now. It's called Find the Work You're Wired to Do. Hey, can I tell you something? If you've got a college grad or a high school grad, this is an absolute no-brainer purchase. You can pre-order at kencoleman.com. Kencoleman.com. All right. Team brought me this, and I don't know what to do with this story. I really don't. I think it's, I think in some ways we're losing our minds, and this is again another example of just poor leadership. This is the headline. This is a CBS article. Congrats, you just got a dry promotion. No raise included. What? I mean, how often do workplace promotions come without a raise? It doesn't happen a lot, and this is not necessarily a new phenomenon, but it does pop up sometimes when companies get a little bit nervous and concerned about the economy. It's a no-raise promotion. That's what this is. Somebody came up with, it's called a dry promotion. I guess that's some type of head nod to not drinking, dry January. I don't know. But this is where someone gets an upgraded title and more job responsibilities, but no upgrade in compensation. According to a recent Wall Street Journal article, the number of employers offering people new job titles without a raise has increased 5% since 2018. So it's now up to 13% of employers are giving people a new job title. And apparently it's seen as a promotion by the company. But I can tell you who doesn't think it's a promotion. It's the person who gets it. Ray Smith, a Wall Street Journal reporter, chimed in on this CBS News article. They should reply by negotiating. And they could say, okay, I'd like to do this. I'd like to take this on, but can we talk about a salary increase? Or can we revisit the issue of salary increase in 3 months if it's not possible now? If a company's coming to you with this idea, I don't know if the answer is negotiating, because this is not sensical thinking. This is not good leadership. This is such poor leadership that I'm so concerned about the leader or the company that would think this is a good idea to go to a human being and say, hey, we're going to give you a new title and more responsibility or new responsibilities, but we're not giving you a raise. It is so antithetical. It is so nonsensical. I keep coming back to that, to basic healthy psychology, that it begs the question, are they going to get it even if you negotiate? It makes me wonder, if you negotiate, are they going to snap to it and go, well, good move. We just thought we'd bluff a little bit and see if you knew how to play poker. I don't think that's what this is. I guess it's possible, but even that's poor leadership. Why would you bluff? It's horrible. Apparently, women feel greater pressure than men to accept this promotion and don't take the issue to their managers this doesn't feel right. 2/3 of female professionals think their salaries are unfair anyway, according to a recent survey by Glassdoor, and also noted that women at every level of education earn 20% less than their male counterparts. Nationwide, women in 2022 earned an average of 82 cents for each dollar men earned. This is from the Pew Research Center. So I guess women are already feeling like, well, I don't get paid much as men, and I feel like I got to take the promotion because if I don't, there may not be another opportunity. And see, for a person to feel this way, and by the way, I understand why women feel this way or anybody would feel this way. The only legitimate reason I could see that someone would take this kind of treatment is because they feel like that they're going to get punished or penalized. So that tells you something about the environment. Tells you something about the relationship they have with their leader. It's fear-based. Because nobody in their right mind goes, yeah, I'm excited about a promotion that doesn't come with more pay. It's nonsense. So, of course, CBS goes to Reddit because Reddit has become the water cooler where everybody jumps on and gripes about everything or comments just about on anything. And this is the thread, promotion, but no salary increase. And a cursory glance at this, CBS reporter says, most people view that as unfair. You think? But even without a salary increase, there can be benefits to a dry promotion, says Ray Smith. This is the Wall Street Journal reporter we quoted earlier. Sometimes giving employees a shortcut to a bigger role and ultimately higher pay. Okay, again, this is how I don't want to slam this reporter. He's a good guy. I'm sure he's a quality citizen. So here's the idea. Here's the notion. That if your leader comes to you and says, hey, we want you to take this position. It's a promotion. You're going to have more duties, but we're not going to pay you. Smith says, there could be a benefit to saying yes, shows you're a team player, and then down the line, they give you a raise. Well, the only scenario by which that theory works is if you almost have a written agreement that says, hey, right now, we need you to step into this role. you understand that, we understand that, due to this, and this, whatever, budget constraints, we can't pay you. But as soon as this, and this happens, we will be able to pay you, and we're going to revisit this every 3 months. And upon, you know, there's got to be some pressure, some accountability on the leadership, or else it's just like Congress kicking the can down the road. They don't ever pay off the national debt. It's just, well, we raise more debt and we get to this spending bill. And it's the same thing in Congress you read about all the time. Well, we got to raise the spending limit instead of fixing it. And so no one's fixing the national debt problem. And in this situation, I think it can very easily become out of mind for someone to go, well, you're doing the job, you're picking up the slack, and we're not going to pay you. And I've taken this phone call on the show many times where essentially someone stepped into role, started taking on some new duties, or sometimes it's they didn't take the role, but they said, we're going to give you the role, and with it comes a raise, but they just keep kicking it down the road, kicking it up. People call me, Ken, how much longer should I wait for it? And my answer is no more. After two or three times where there is no decision promised and no clear reason, you got to use common sense, and they're not delivering, folks, this is not a priority. And if it's not a priority, it's not going to happen soon enough for you. It's time to start looking. So this dry promotion crap and all this stuff, this is poor leadership. It's manipulative. They shouldn't even put you in the position if they can't pay you. It's just that simple. You need to run from this stuff and run fast. All right, let's coach some people up. Chris is on the line in Atlanta. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well.
Wanted to say thank you for your podcast, your suggestions and wisdom. You and the crew are just rock stars.
Thank you so much. Wow, that's very nice. I'll send you a check after the show today. Wow, that's very nice. What's going on?
I was wondering if you could help me with looking at a career change potentially. I'm 49 years old, looking for a career change. And I was thinking about wishing that there was a way that at my age that there was like a high school career fair that I could just kind of dip my toe into different aspects to see what fits. I've done a couple years ago, I did one of the assessments that the results came up saying that I was like maybe service industry suited, which totally aligns with my personality. I also did another assessment called from another entity said I'm basically a defender personality. And I remember there was back in 2020, I had called asking for some suggestions. And it was kind of decided during the call with you that, you know, which really didn't fizzle out. I was going to see about starting my own IT business, doing computer support, but that really wasn't me. And 4 years later, I thought, that's not really me.
Okay.
So I'm just looking for some suggestions on what I can look at as far as like my next steps.
So you called me all those years back, and you're saying in the middle of the call, we came up with the idea of, because you wanted to run your own business, we came up with tech support or something?
Yeah, it was like I still am in the IT help desk position, essentially, which I love helping people.
Did you start a business?
I didn't. I was looking a little bit more and more into it, and it was just like, you know, I wanted to pivot to something different, maybe more in security realm.
Tech security or security?
Yes. Tech security.
So cybersecurity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's keeping you from doing that?
So I've got a couple certs under my belt, and then I am all for and can, I'm not opposed to going back to school for degrees or other certifications.
You don't need a degree. You don't need a degree to go into cybersecurity. You've already got a couple of certs. Are those certs enough for you to get hired in cybersecurity?
I've been trying, yes.
What does that mean? Tell me what trying looks like.
Sure. So, like, I'm applying often, like, on suggestions from LinkedIn, some government jobs that I see posted all the time, and most of the time I just usually get ghosted.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. We're going to come back to that. I want you to remind me if I don't get to it here. Sure. We need to come back to this career fair idea, because I think that's what's going wrong right now. Is you're getting ghosted because you're doing what everybody else does and you just apply and you're not going about it the right way. I want to get to that in a second. But I wish you had your assessment results on you. Do you have your Get Clear assessment results? That's my assessment.
I did. I was trying to dig up through past emails and I couldn't find
it. All right. So I don't think you're a guy that struggles with ideas. I think you're a guy that struggles with confidence. Is that right or am I wrong? I'm okay being wrong.
Probably so. Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're a guy who doesn't have ideas. I think you got ideas, and I would go so far as saying, I think you know what you want to do. Is that true?
picture is not real clear as to really what I want to do.
I'm going to push on you. And again, tell me if I'm wrong. I think you know what you want to do, but you don't know how to best get there.
That'd be fair. Yeah.
Now, wait a second. Just a second ago, you said the picture wasn't very clear. What's clear is the picture. What's not clear is the path.
Yes.
All right. Then tell me what the picture is.
So, again, I've got a passion for helping people. And especially with in this day and age with IT security challenges and stuff like that, I like to help bridge the gap in helping stuff, people become more secure in the IT world.
So what would you be doing tomorrow if I could just go like this with my pencil and make it happen? No school, no money issues. Just I get to do the career fair and I get to try this for 30 days. It's career fair on steroids, except I get paid. And I know it's security. I know it's cybersecurity, but what is it? What are you doing for 30 days just for fun?
You know what? I don't know, because I've been working like...
not true. That's not true. I'm not going to let you off the hook, Chris. We've talked too much. You've listened to me a lot. You've been on the show with me before. You're a return caller. I'm not doing you a good job as a coach if I let you get off the hook that easy. You do know what you would try tomorrow. What would you try? You've been talking about it. What would you be doing in cybersecurity tomorrow if you knew you couldn't fail? And it didn't cost you anything. What would you be doing all day, during the day? Describe it.
Just helping people out with security needs.
Right. But be more specific. I don't care about the title. What are you doing? Is it individuals? Is it a company? Are you running firewalls? Come on, Chris. What would you be doing? Describe it.
With a company. Probably helping protect potential vulnerabilities.
Right.
Which were discovered.
So you do know what you would do tomorrow for 30 days. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Then what's going on?
Just don't know how to get there. I don't know the bridge to close the gap.
Right. But so now we talk about that. Okay. So do you know how many certs are pretty much mandatory or required to get hired in cybersecurity right now?
It varies, but I have a general idea.
Okay, how many is it?
Three or four.
And how many do you have?
A couple. That they're looking for. Yep.
So there's already a reason as to why you're getting ghosted, because you're not fully qualified. So it's possible, Chris, that you are applying for jobs you're not qualified for. Is that true or is that false?
Yes.
Okay, so if the industry stands, so I guess yes means true?
Yes.
Okay. True. So no longer are we discouraged. You're just not, that's kind of silly.
Right.
It's like me going and trying out for an NBA basketball team. What would you tell me, Chris? Would you say, Ken, that's foolish? You would. Yeah. Yeah, you're 49. You're 5'8". You can't jump. You're not a good basketball player. What are you doing? Of course the NBA is not returning your call. All right. You got two certs when the industry standard is 3 to 4. Your word's not mine. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get fully certified. I would call Bethel Tech as soon as this call is over.
Okay.
I've endorsed Bethel Tech for years. I've sent over 100 people their way. We have people coming out. We had a school teacher on this show, Chris, not long ago, who went from making $53,000, I believe it was, to over $70,000, and within the next 6 to 12 months is going to be making over $100,000. One of their programs is cybersecurity. You should call Bethel Tech and say, I'm a Ken Coleman Show listener, and I get a discount if I decide to go with you. But before I decide to go with you, I need to talk to somebody about what I have and then what you guys offer, and will that get me up to speed? Because they also help you with job placement.
Okay.
And then beyond that, I'm going to give you my book, The Proximity Principle. Do you have it?
I do, actually.
You need to reread it. You need to reread it. And instead of just reading it this time, go do it and start hanging out with people in Atlanta, Georgia that are in cybersecurity. You say, well, Ken, I don't know anybody who works in cybersecurity. And I say, well, you know somebody who works in cybersecurity. And the reason we're going to go hang out with them and take them to lunch is because, number one, they like to eat. Number two, they like to eat for free because you're going to pick up their lunch or coffee. Right. And then number three, they love to talk about themselves, and you're going to ask them how they got where they are and what advice they'd give somebody like you because you're in the middle of doing your cybersecurity stuff. And you're going to repeat this and repeat this and repeat this and repeat this. And you're going to make all these connections while you're getting qualified. And then when the time comes, hopefully you've built enough relationships with people that are in cybersecurity or work in a company where cybersecurity positions are open, and they walk your resume into the boss. Then you got Bethel Tech, who every nickel you spend with Bethel Tech is worth it because they're going to qualify you, and there's a really good chance they're going to help you get hired. Chris, there is a way. And now you know the way. And I just gave you one way, but there is a way. So no longer are you sitting around. And here's what happens. Chris, I believe you're a guy that loses his confidence quickly. And so this is all about clarity. We retreat back to clarity when we lose confidence. And clarity is, I know how to get noticed after I get qualified. And I know how to get qualified. And I got to go do that first. While I'm getting qualified, I'm getting connected. Hang on the line, Chris. Make sure Chris gets all the information about Bethel Tech, please. Let's make it easy for him so he doesn't have to do anything but act. This is The Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.